This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
We just need a strategy, okay?
Okay, here's the plan.
We're getting a look at the fallout of Hurricane Harvey, now on Tactics. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Tactics. Glad to be with you on this Thursday morning. Still seeing some of that rain from Hurricane Harvey ourselves. Still catching a little bit of that. I know that I got out this morning and it was absolutely pouring. And unfortunately, the parking lot here at Cumulus Media is starting to look like downtown.
Well, I always feel guilty complaining about, well, I don't know if guilty is the word, but so many people have it so much worse. Like you say, when you step out of your car and you can't find anywhere to put your feet.
Right. Granted, is it covered with water? Yes, but it's like half an inch of water as opposed to several feet. So
And I was coming in and maybe late, this traffic backup. Of course, I know you stay away from 85 one way or the other. Come in on 65?
Well, that's, because going on 85 wouldn't make any sense.
That's what I know, because you live north of downtown.
Right.
And it almost appeared that there was going to be like a traffic jam and I was trapped. And then all of a sudden, it just sort of got back to normal. So I was okay. I was saying, what? Surely I'm not going to be late.
Yeah, luckily, if you listen to Major Delay right here on all of our Cumulus stations, you'll usually be okay. He usually keeps you pretty up to date.
He keeps you away from the Major Delay. But
that's right.
Like you say, it's getting bad here, but we hate to complain.
Right, exactly. It does put it into perspective when you're able to see all the news coverage of what's going on. And you know, in Hurricane Harvey, with us, it's a minor annoyance. With them, it's a life or death situation. We're seeing that some of the destruction being absolutely massive. And there's a couple things that it's really important to consider. I think it's important to really take a look at this because Houston has something called supersaturation, which, as bad as it is right here in Alabama, and I'm guessing that we can probably relate more than people in New England or somewhere like that, but because Houston has supersaturation, because it's incredibly flat and because of the way the humidity works there, it's going to take it forever to dry out. And so as bad as it is now, and don't get me wrong, it's bad, but they're expecting it to raise maybe another inch and somewhere around today, maybe it's already peaked, I don't know, but then it's going to start receding, which is great. But at the same time, even after it's receded, they're still going to have a really long wait for all the waters to get completely out. And on top of that, and this is something else to be very concerned with, because of that supersaturation, even a little bit of rain, if it comes in the next few weeks, could cause flooding again, unfortunately. So we're seeing a lot of destruction, and what's unfortunate about this is, you know, we think about it as kind of being a one-time event. It comes in, it destroys everything, and then a few days later, everybody comes back in and things start getting back to normal. Unfortunately, that's not the case. That's the way a hurricane works right here. But because of the way that Houston is designed, it's going to be a while before things start really getting back to normal because of the saturation there. Also, and a lot of people have been very critical about them not evacuating the entire city and not getting it away, not getting everybody away from this. Well, there's a couple of reasons why that's not really a fair criticism. First of all, in the last major hurricane that did hit Houston, when they did try to do a mass evacuation, actually a lot of people died evacuating because they were stuck on the roads. And so that was one thing that they did take into consideration and why they were hesitant to do mass evacuations and mandatory evacuations. They did actually have a mandatory evacuation today because there was a reservoir that actually spilled over in the Houston area just recently, and it's putting a lot of places underwater. So they did issue a mandatory evacuation not too long ago. So hopefully everybody gets out of there okay. But it's important to realize we don't think about it this way, but if you've ever been to Texas, and I've been there a few times, never actually been to Houston, been to Dallas, Fort Worth, Kyleen, a few other places in Texas, but you have to understand, Houston is huge, and I don't think I can overstate that enough. Houston is one of the largest cities in the country. It has a metro population. So in other words, if you're talking about greater Houston, not just the actual Houston area, the proper Houston proper, 6.5 million people. I mean, just absolutely massive. And here's the other thing about that. We think of a bigger city like New York City. The thing about New York City is they're very densely populated, and Houston is too, but in a very different way. Because if you're looking at the actual landscape of greater Houston, it spans over 10,000 square miles. It's a massive, massive city. To give you a little bit of perspective, because I know a lot of you didn't, you know, square miles is kind of hard to wrap your head around. It is for me, too. Jersey is a little over 8,000. Not the state of New Jersey is smaller than Houston, the Houston metropolitan area. I mean, this place is absolutely massive. And so you're thinking about all the property damage, all the buildings, all the people that have been displaced in this. It's like trying to evacuate an entire state. You don't really have a perception of how huge this area is until you kind of put it into perspective like that. In fact, I was actually seeing something the other night that you could take the population of, I think it was Alaska, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota. It still wouldn't be the population of Houston, Texas. So you could, just to understand a little bit of what they're trying to go through, it's about impossible to evacuate this thing completely, and that's why it's been such a big deal and they've had such a hard time with the rescue efforts. Now, as of yet, there is some reason to be optimistic. It looks like the death toll is actually a little bit lighter than it was under Katrina, but it's important to remember that that could be very misleading, because keep in mind, when we were just a few days into Katrina, it actually didn't look too bad with Katrina either. What happened is when we started going in, when the water started receding and we started looking into exactly what the floods and the storm had done, we found that the body count started rising pretty quickly, because there were a bunch of people that we didn't know were missing, that we didn't know had died until after the storm was over and authorities could get in there. So unfortunately, I'm not trying to be all doom and gloom here, but I'm just preparing you that this could be misleading. I don't think it will be as bad as Katrina, because I think we learned a lot from Katrina, and I also think that Texans in general are better prepared. But nonetheless, I'm just letting you know that it's going to look a lot worse here in the next few days when we actually do get to start going into people's homes, seeing how many, and then the body count will probably be going up, hopefully not too much, but that is something to keep in mind. Speaking of the horrifying events that have been taking place, there was a toddler that they actually saw the other day that they were rescuing. Poor little girl was crying, and she was hanging on for dear life, floating down the water to her mother's body. Her mother had passed away in the storm, and she was trying to carry her little girl to safely, and they rescued this toddler who was just crying, clinging on to her mother's body as they floated downstream. Rescuers were able to find her, and she's okay, but, I mean, you really look at that, and it just absolutely breaks your heart to see what some of the effects of this storm have been. Now, the flip side of that is that there has been a real outpouring of human compassion. There has been a massive groundswell of people, not some kind of volunteers, not people that have formed an association to help with storms, like just regular people that have never done anything like this before in their entire life. And they are getting together, mounting up and heading down at their own expense, missing work, to help people out because they feel it's the right thing to do. And we'll talk more about that in just a second. Before we do, I want to talk about our good friends at Southside Firestone Tire and Auto Center. Now, when you're thinking about these storms, I think that it puts it into perspective. You could be putting yourself at risk if something like this were to come to Alabama, and hurricane season is not over, we could still see a big storm like this. Probably not to this level because we're a little further inland, but still, it's very easy to have an accident in severe weather like this, like we're having now. If you don't have the right tires, if your brakes aren't good, it's just there's so many things that can go wrong. And to keep your car in top performance condition, you need to check out our good friends at Southside Firestone Tire and Auto Center. It's not a good idea to put off getting those brakes looked at. It's not a good idea to get, if you're having noise in your engine, you're overheating a little bit, any of those problems, you need to go to Jim Woodham Southside Firestone Tire and Auto Center. They will fix you up and get everything running the way that it is supposed to be running. So go see them today. They've been in Montgomery for 50 years, and they've been here and been successful as long as they have because they know what they're doing. They know how to handle their cars. They know how to handle their clients. They're really good at working with people, really good at working with insurance companies if that's something that you need done for this particular repair. So go by and see them on the Troy Highway today. That is Jim Woodham Southside Firestone Tire and Auto Center in South Montgomery. We are going to look at this in just a second. I think we actually have a guest coming in the next segment, and then we're going to look at some of these amazing stories of people just volunteering their time and going out to Houston to help people out. 860-1440. We'll be right back. Too long. My love's too strong. Let you go. Never knowing what went wrong.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Hebrews 8:10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Welcome back, all. You are listening to Tactics on News Radio 1440 and the News Radio 1440 app. 860-1440 are the numbers if you want to call in, and I wanted to mention this because it kind of set up, and we've been talking about this for days. We're watching the news. Of course, some of the stories that we're reading are absolutely heartbreaking, but I do think that the silver lining in all this, and I actually said it when I came back on the air Tuesday because, of course, I was gone Monday. You're never glad when something like this happens. You're never, you know, happy about all the destruction, all the people losing their homes, people losing a lot of money, having to uproot their lives. But at the same time, oddly enough, and I do think that this is possibly God's hand at work, the way that our country was, where we were arguing about things, I think that this really did help put the country on a better path because it gave us some perspective. And we are just seeing so many stories. We talked about it for almost an hour yesterday, of regular everyday citizens just coming out in droves with their boats, with their cars, trying to help, taking down supplies, joining in rescue missions. And these people are just civilians. They're not cops. They're not Coast Guard. They're not National Guard. They're just regular citizens without an ounce of training saying, well, I have a fishing boat. I'm going to go down there and help out. It actually kind of reminded me of, and I am going to give away minor spoilers here, so if you haven't seen the movie yet, well, first of all, shame on you. You should have seen it by this point because I told you to go see it, and this is your punishment for not listening to me. But
which one is it?
Dunkirk.
Oh, yeah. I am going to see, but you're going to spoil it anyway.
Just a little part of it, not the whole thing.
I was actually, this was a couple of weeks ago that you had recommended it.
That's true.
For some reason, I was going on a Sunday afternoon and something came up. Anyway, everybody's got an excuse.
Right, but nonetheless, Dunkirk, great film, did really well in the box office. My favorite director, Chris Nolan. There's this one great scene where if you're unaware of the plot, this isn't a spoiler, so you don't have to turn off the radio. When this happens, Dunkirk, all the troops are there on Dunkirk, and they can't get evacuated back to England because, of course, the beaches are being taken, the Germans are coming, that kind of thing. Well, there's this one particular scene in Dunkirk, and I am, again, minor spoilers, so you may want to, switch the channel if you haven't heard it yet, but I do highly recommend seeing this movie.
I can't switch.
That's right, Joe, you're stuck.
Be tortured.
You just got to deal with it. But you should have gone and seen the movie, like I said. But anyway, so there's this really great scene where there's this guy and he's on a mission with just his little luxury cruiser It's not a military boat. He doesn't have military training. He's not in the Navy. He just has a boat that he takes out on weekends for fun. And he goes out to rescue people there that are stranded on Dunkirk, rescue the troops. And when he gets there, they look around and there's a whole fleet of civilian boats there to evacuate the people there at Dunkirk to get them back across the English Channel and get them back home. And it really did remind me of, in a lot of ways, what's going on right now. You've got all these people from around the country that see what's going on in Galveston, and they're not being paid for it. They're not being recompensed in any way. They're just going down there out of the goodness of their own hearts because they see their neighbors in trouble, and they want to help. And so speedboats, fishing boats, pontoon boats, flat-bottom fishing boats, fan boats, and some people with just trailers. If they got a trailer, they load it up with supplies, they run down there, they drop it off, they go, they pick up another round of supplies, bottled water, food, blankets, extra clothes, all these different things that they're doing. There was Project Barbecue, which they're planning on 3 meals a day feeding. I think the last figure I saw was about 20 to 30,000 people a day there in the convention center, and with barbecue, which is just a very Texas thing to do. So it's just
probably pretty tasty. Also,
I'm guessing. Sure. I tell you what, if I've been eating like tuna out of a can or something like that for the past several days, or just spoons full of peanut butter, which would probably be me, I'd be really happy to see a barbecue sandwich right about now. Actually, I'd be happy to see a barbecue sandwich right about now, even though I'm just sitting in the studio. But that aside, it does really show that the average American person is just a really, really good person at their heart. And I do think that this has kind of put that on display. I want to give all the credit in the world to these two guys, which has been an amazing story. These two guys that were interviewed by ABC News, Dustin McCray and Adam Rust, they're just two fishing buddies from Galveston. That's all they are. No training whatsoever. Nobody asked them to. They just have a fishing boat that they take out on the weekends to fish in. And they said, well, we should go down there and help out. They've saved 300 people in 3 days. Just two guys that want to go out fishing. That's all it is. And they have saved over 300 people. And by the way, the people that are going out there, there are people that have lost their vehicles doing this because they're on the roads and the waters are coming up on the interstate as they're trying to get into Houston, and they know that the water is coming, and so they'll find a place to launch their boats and launch the boats out into the water knowing that their vehicle is going to be lost. I mean, literally people sacrificing their cars to help people out. It's just an amazing story. And these two fishing buddies having saved 300 people, and this is not uncommon. Actually, there have been people out there with boats for several days that have saved, you know, hundreds of people just by themselves. And it's just so heartwarming to see some of the stories that we're seeing coming out of the media right now. It's one of the few times where I'm watching the news and I can watch the news for more than 20 minutes and not yell at the TV. It's really remarkable. So let's actually, speaking of that, and kind of in that same vein, let's actually go to the callers right now. Let's go to John from Millbrook on line one. Good morning. Good morning. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay, we got you now. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out something that you related just a minute ago, and it goes further. I think day to day, our people are more like this than they are what's depicted in the media. From the surface, it looks like if someone were just watching the media, they would think that our country is in continuous upheaval. That we're at each other's throats, that we don't get along, that there are fights and disagreements and party lines and race lines on everything, and I just don't think it's like that.
Yeah, I think one thing that you're seeing is this is the distortion that you're seeing a little bit from the media, and it's not one side or the other. I mean, it happens on MSNBC and it happens on Fox too. But if you were watching, I think the average observer would have watched the news last week and said, well, America is more divided than ever. Americans are at each other's throats. This country is about to be ripped apart. And then you look at the media coverage this week, and it's almost hard to watch this coverage and not think this has got to be the greatest country in the history of mankind.
We've always been that way. We really have. I mean, we mobilize and help people here, and we do that with people in foreign soil, too. So it's just the way that it is. And it's oftentimes depicted in such a harsh manner. And people in other countries see that media, and they think that's how we are. But this is how we really are. I think this says more about us people just helping people, no matter what their religion or race or anything is. It's just what we do. It's always been like that. As long as I can remember, and I've been here 54 years, and, you know, people just do that, and thank goodness they do. That's what makes us great. It's how much we care about each other and the individualism that we have, that and we recognize the value in all individuals, and that's what's great about us.
I couldn't agree more, and here's the thing. I've always been a firm believer in, if you want to see what kind of character a person has, you see something difficult hit them. So if you want to see whether or not a person is really a good person, you watch them in a time where they have to make some really tough decisions. Or you look at them during an event to their life that just wreaks havoc and disaster, like some kind of major illness, or you know, something really bad happens in their family. You watch them when that happens and watch the change, and when they go into crisis mode. And that's when you really kind of get deeper than just the surface and see who they really are. Well, this is one of those times for our country, and I think what has happened in that is, through everything that's been going on with Harvey, we're now getting to see who Americans really are.
I know our churches need to mobilize and help folks down there, because it's going to be a long, drawn-out process for sure, and I would like to see all of our church people help. I'm sure we will.
I think we will. We've always traditionally been that kind of group of people, and I think that that's what we're going to be seeing in the coming days. Thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate it. And actually, I was sitting in church last night at worship service, at Bible study, because it was Wednesday night, and we got the announcement that we've already, from the Dowrata Church of Christ, sent some relief down there, some supplies. And I'm not just doing that to brag on my church, because obviously I wasn't sitting in all the other churches last night. I'm sure that there have been several area churches that have done exactly the same thing. I remember that the last big storm and relief effort that we had to have down in Louisiana, Frazier did an awful lot, so and several other churches as well. So the churches, I think it is their responsibility to help out with this. A lot of them already have. There's people staying in churches now, living in churches that are on higher ground. So we really are seeing the true colors of who people are. And as much as I hate to see everybody displaced and all the property destroyed at the same time, it is really good to see that when times are tough, Americans do still live by the golden rule, that we really do treat others the way we would like to be treated. And I think that says more about us as a people, and it says more about us as a country than the media is ever going to be willing to admit when there's not something like this going on. 860-1440, we'll be right back.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
A watchful eye must be kept on ourselves, lest, while we're building ideal monuments of renown and bliss here, we neglect to have our names enrolled in the annals of heaven. James Madison.
Hey everybody, welcome back. You are listening to News Radio 1440 and newsradio1440.com. 860-1440 are the numbers if you want to weigh in. Let me know what's on your mind. And there is a lot going on with Hurricane Harvey. I wanted to bring this up since Joe and I were just kind of spitballing during the commercial break, which there's a good reason that we don't have any like live video feed or a podcast of that going on. But we actually did have a good conversation in this past break. We were talking about the barbecue around town. We won't name any names, obviously, but because we've been talking about Project Barbecue with Hurricane Harvey, and we're just talking about some of the best barbecue around here, and this is what it brought to my attention. I've been talking a lot about people helping out, but I haven't really told you how to help out. So there's several different things, several charities that you can donate to. They actually have a day of giving going on right now. The ABC News is working with the Red Cross. So you can partner with them. You can give to the Red Cross. That's always a good idea. They do a lot with when it comes to relief efforts. One charity that I give to that's partnering with Project Barbecue, like I said, the guys that are going down there and cooking to feed several thousand people a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the convention center, the people that are held up in those shelters and don't have any way to get food or buy food. They're going to be going down there. You can check that out at mercury1.org.
That's excellent.
Yeah. A charity that I've been working with a lot. I've given money to myself. And one thing I love about Mercury One, every single dime goes directly to the people.
Good.
No overhead whatsoever.
Well, you know me. I'm skeptical. My warning would be has nothing to do with the Mercury people, but
right.
Just in general, make sure that you know who you're giving your money to.
Right.
Now, the Red Cross and anything that we would mention would be legit. I wouldn't fall for somebody who comes to you and wants or comes to your door and says, we're taking up donations. Well, yeah, for my son, you know, yeah, we're taking up donations so we can go out and buy a big screen TV.
Right. You don't want to do that. But when it comes to overhead, obviously all charities have some overhead. When it comes to Mercury One, though, one of the things I love about them is they actually have a gala every year to handle their overhead. And so 100% of their proceeds, regardless of what you donate to, and they've got a lot of different things that you can donate to, goes directly to the charity. So that's a great charity to give to. And this is the most important one. Your church, because every church in the community should be doing something to help out, especially since these guys are our neighbors. I mean, Texas isn't that far away. Now, maybe your church can partner with other churches to get it done, or you can just do it yourself and send some people down there with some volunteers. But if you should be giving to your church in the name of the relief fund, you know, just help out. Just give whatever you can, whatever you can spare. Every little bit helps. Maybe if you just have $20, $30, that's enough. That will help feed at least a few people down there for a couple days. Maybe buy some water. So you can give to your church, and if your church isn't involved in a relief effort, your church should either partner with somebody else who is, or maybe you can start that program in your own congregation. So lots of ways to help out. Speaking of people helping out, I wanted to give a couple of quick stories just because I love the stories that are coming out of Houston right now. And I really enjoy, I mean, I enjoy my job. I enjoy what I do. But a lot of times I'm arguing with somebody because, you know, it's tactics. These stories, they're fun to cover. I love covering these. Yesterday, they formed a human chain to rescue a woman in labor. The woman was actually going into labor as this happens. So a bunch of the neighbors risked, because keep in mind, this water, some of it's contaminated. You've got giant islands of fire ants, of all things, going downstream. There's gators in there. This is and snakes. This is not a safe thing to do, and yet all the neighbors chained themselves together, locked arms, so they could rescue a woman that was going into labor.
Hadn't heard about that one. That's nice.
That just happened yesterday, so that's a recent story.
And I showed you the picture of the fire ants the other day. That's like something out of a bad sci-fi movie.
It almost sounds made up. I really did think it was fake news. I had to do some research on it. It's real.
No, it's real.
I was afraid that it was, but apparently it's
real.
Really happening.
It's real.
I really think if we have a nuclear holocaust, the only thing left will be cockroaches and fire ants. We'll all be wiped out.
The mosquitoes may hang in there.
Mosquitoes will probably hang in there, too. I didn't even think about them, but anyway, so you've got the human chain to rescue that lady in labor. This one was really cool. Grandpa Kevin, Kevin Spencer is his name. He's a grandpa living there in Houston, and he called Chick-fil-A and he ordered 2 chicken burritos with extra egg, because they do that for breakfast. They have those chicken burritos, and a boat. That's what he ordered because his house was flooding. He's like, I need the 2 Chick-fil-A burritos and I need a boat. Chick-fil-A actually calls some people and sends 2 jet skis down to his house to pick him and his wife up. And there were pictures. I think we actually mentioned this in passing yesterday. There were pictures of him and his wife being driven on jet skis out of their house straight through the front door. So that was really cool. I didn't know that the way that he got those boats there was that he called Chick-fil-A. So good guy Chick-fil-A. It seems like every news story they're in. If I were Chick-fil-A, I wouldn't spend a dime on PR because somehow they just get all the best public relations in the world when it comes to this. So
they deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, they're a really good company. I applaud them. I don't even eat chicken all that much, but I got to tell you, I love Chick-fil-A. I love what they do. Another citizen rescuer just randomly ran into and found, because he was doing one more check in a neighborhood, a man that was stranded in his house, couldn't get out, couldn't call anybody because the water had ruined all of his electronics. He was stuck in a wheelchair in his house. That man would have died. I mean, no two ways about it. You're in a wheelchair. You can't call anybody for help. He would have drowned if the guy hadn't shown up to help him out. So really cool story there. And yesterday there was a really heartwarming story about they medevaced a preemie girl named Lily Albos. When the flood came in, obviously she's a preemie. She can't survive without her equipment. They were able to medical evac her and fly her out to a hospital where she could survive. So just great stories of people doing the right thing all around this country, and that's what this country is all about. Hour two coming up.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
We just need a strategy, okay?
Okay, here's the plan.
Look out, the politics are coming. We go there now on Tactics. That's right, guys. One more day till the weekend. I'm looking forward to it. I know you're looking forward to it. I mean, there might be something happening this weekend. I'm not really sure. I'll have to check my calendar. Oh, right. Football season. So,
roll tide.
All right, Joe, you're fired.
No. Well, of course, you and I are completely on the opposite side of the state, so to speak.
That's right. Joe's in here every single day with his little pretentious Alabama mug that he drinks right in front of me. I was decked out in Auburn garb yesterday. I'm getting excited for football season. Lots to look forward to. But one thing that is more assured and more contentious than the Auburn-Alabama rivalry is what's going to happen when we see a different kind of floodwater recede and politics returns to the news cycle, which is what we're going to talk about. It's already starting to rear its ugly head a little
swamp.
Bit. Right, the swamp. The swamp actually is going to be a part of this, but just like with 9/11, which, by the way, is only 12 days from now, so the anniversary of 9/11 coming up, you guys remember what it was like on 9/12, 9/13, the couple weeks after 9/11, everybody was united. We were all on the same page. Nobody cared what you voted, who you voted for, or it was all about coming together, finding common ground, uniting for a common good, a common cause. That's exactly where we are right now. Maybe not quite to the degree, because there's not a common enemy to rally against like there was with Al-Qaeda, because, of course, you know, Hurricane Harvey is just Hurricane Harvey. He's a, you know, natural event. So in this particular case, though, that's where we are right now. We're on that helper's high where everybody's getting together and helping people, and we're not worried about that. We're really focused on what we should be focused on, which is helping other people. That's going to go away, and it's going to go away quickly. I hate to say it, but just like 9/11, it became sort of a politically charged event. Hurricane Harvey, I think, will do exactly the same here in the next coming days, unfortunately. It seems that it's taking a little longer now than it did with Katrina, but that may be nostalgia. Or, sorry, not nostalgia. That may just be with the advantage of hindsight that to see where it started cropping up. There's a couple stories, and I do want to run through these quickly because I think they bear a little analysis. The media the other day was complaining about Melania Trump wearing heels in the trip across the White House lawn to get into the helicopter to start their journey on their way down to Houston, Texas, to help out down there. They were just talking about how tone deaf it is and how insensitive she is by wearing heels onto the. This is so stupid. First of all, I don't really get the high heels thing anyway. I mean, I know it makes your legs and butt look good, and that's why women wear them. But at the same time, like, it amazes me that women can wear something so incredibly uncomfortable for such a long amount of time, and how they can keep their balance in them. Now, I'm a first-degree black belt. I have incredible balance. That was always something that I kind of prided myself on, that all my instructors said that I had very good balance, especially for a tall guy. And it's always been something I've taken a little pride in. I actually, one time for a, we had one of those male beauty pageants for charity at my high school. I wore a pair of high heels one time. I cannot keep my balance to save my life in those things. I don't see how women walk in them. But anyway, that aside, see, the real story should be Melania Trump made it across the White House lawn in heels and didn't fall down. That should be the headline. But no, they're complaining about Melania Trump, and goodness knows I'm not the biggest Trump fan in the world, but it kind of reminded me a little bit the fact that she was able to walk in those and not fall down. For those of you who remember The Nanny, that sitcom that used to come on NBC back in the day, love that show, by the way. There's this one episode where Fran, who's always wearing heels, she's going out on a ledge to try to stop someone from committing suicide in New York City. And he says, I think it's Maxwell that's there. He says, "Miss Fine, shouldn't you take off your heels before you step out onto the ledge?" And she says, "Are you crazy? That'll throw off my balance completely." So maybe that's, I mean, Melania was a supermodel, so that's probably at the level she's at as well. But nonetheless, it amazes me that they made such a huge deal out of this. And it's nothing but people that are trying to find something to criticize Trump on. To go after Melania Trump for wearing heels. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, that's actually a really common thing. I don't think that the president and the first lady are actually going to be down there in the water literally saving people anyway, so I don't think that heels is an issue. But second of all, even if it were, this is something that women do all the time. They wear heels, they wear the nice shoes, and then when they get to wherever it is that they're going, they change. Again, I don't get it, but that's the way women are. That's how they operate. This is not an uncommon thing. And so in this particular case, I just want to say to the media, stop being a bunch of 14-year-old girls. We have bigger problems right now. There's people literally whose lives are at stake. And you're busy reporting on Melania Trump wearing heels on the ride over to get to the airport, to get to Houston. This is petty high school garbage, and it has no place in the media and being covered right now. And also, I'd like to say this. You're actually kind of making the opposite case. Because if Trump's handling of the relief efforts is he's doing well enough to where the only thing you can find a criticism on is his wife's wardrobe, Trump's doing a pretty good job. Now, you can like Trump, hate Trump. Again, I was never a big fan, don't like some of his policy positions, but at the exact same time, he's been handling this relief effort pretty well. And if this is the biggest thing you can find to sling mud at him in the media coverage, Trump's doing all right. So get over yourselves. Now, this is not the only area where politics has started to come into play. In fact, we've got one of the guys from the Young Turks, which is a very, very popular webcast, especially amongst people of my age, millennials, so very influential voice on the left. He has come out and been tweeting the other day about the hurricane and oil. So what's that about? He gets into it. He goes after the oil companies. We're going to give you the details on that in just a second. And let you know what is going on there, because, like I said, I hate to say it, but you know it's coming. You know just as well as I do that this is just around the bend. This is going to become a political issue within the next few days. Once all the great media coverage of the stories that have been coming out that we've been talking about goes away, politics will rear its ugly head once again. At a time where we're all unified, where politics isn't playing a factor into it, that's going to be the news and the headlines in just a few days. I'm all for politics. Obviously, that's the purpose of my show. But this is something that should be apolitical. But they're going to turn it into a political issue. And I'm going to tell you how the Young Turks are doing that in just a moment.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Matthew Matthew 22:37-40. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets."
Hey everybody, welcome back. You are listening to Tactics on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com. 860-1440 are the numbers if you want to weigh in. By the way, I do have a couple things to make you aware of. First of all, September the 4th is coming up, and that is going to be the day of the 69th annual Greek Labor Day barbecue and pastry sale.
Oh, speaking of barbecue.
Yep, Joe's excited about this.
Oh, man, that's Labor Day.
Right.
The day after my birthday.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, happy birthday in advance.
My mom was actually in labor on Labor Day that year.
That took on a new meaning for her then, I guess.
Yes, it did. Well, just having me took on a lot of...
Well, that's true.
If you can imagine.
True.
Yeah, I love that. We were talking about the dessert. Are they going to ever bring some desserts up here for us to sample?
If they're not, they should.
Yeah.
Because we're making this announcement for them, so they should definitely bring
something.
They should
bring up some of the, what is it, the baklava?
Oh, I love the baklava.
They actually...
What's that honey pastry they always bring? Like, it's like a little triangle with the, I don't know, maybe
I can
it.
Visualize it kind of like a some kind of Mexican sopariva. That's not what it is.
But right, but it kind of tastes like
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But
I mean, just in honor of my birthday. They could at least come up here tomorrow and... promote the barbecue, but that's a good cause too, and it's a Montgomery tradition.
That's right. They will be going on September the 4th from 9 a.m. until they're sold out at the Greek Orthodox Church. That is located at 1721 Mount Meigs Road. So you can enjoy all their authentic Greek food, pastries, and camp stew, which will be available dine-in or carry out. If you can't eat there, you can take a lot of it home with you, and believe me, with the kind of food that they're serving, you are going to want to take at least something home with you. Also, think shop and buy local. Think of our local economy. Shop at our local businesses and buy from our local companies who give back to the community. The Cumulus Media supports our River Region local businesses, which includes Ashland's Cake Cottage, Pepper Tree Steak and Mind, and El Ranchero Grande. So whatever your needs are, from large to small, be sure to check them out. And one final thing, for the love of children at Brantwood, which supports Brantwood Children's Homes, that's going to be an afternoon on the links for you, and it's for the love of children golf tournament. This is going to take place September the 14th at Robert Trent Jones Capitol Hill Golf Course. Lunch and registration starts at noon. It's going to be $150 per person, $600 per team if you wish to register. You can get more information on this at BrantwoodChildrensHome.org. And if you cannot make the tournament but you still want to support the cause, you can also make a donation online at BrantwoodChildrensHome.org. So some great causes, great events happening in the capital city. Be sure to check all of those out. Now, getting back to our story, and again, I hate to say it, but we all know it's coming. We can feel it. Politics is going to start clawing its way back into the news, and there are going to be people that try to politicize the hurricane. We've actually already talked about a couple of times that they've tried to do that with the storm coverage, with trying to attribute it to global warming and all these other things. Well, the latest person to jump in on this is Chink.
Who?
I don't know. The name is spelled C-N... in C-E-N-K, so I still have no idea how to pronounce this guy's name.
C-E-N-K. That could be.
Yeah.
I have no. No, it doesn't have a C-H.
It doesn't, but it's pronounced that way because I've heard him pronounce it, but it has a C-H sound. But anyway, the main guy from the Young Turks, just to explain who that is, for those of you who don't know, the Young Turks is kind of like the MSNBC of the internet. They're uber, uber liberal, big Bernie supporters. And push every liberal agenda there is out there shamelessly. They're funded by George Soros. That's how the channel got started up, is George Soros put forth the money for them to get people together to talk about this kind of stuff. And it's been very effective. They're a very loud, very important voice on the left, especially to younger Democrats. And so he has been in several debates with Ben Shapiro, with Dinesh D'Souza, a really influential guy on the left, especially for younger people that are interested in politics. So he tweets out yesterday, and this is a direct quote from his Twitter account. Horrified at human toll of hashtag Hurricane Harvey, not sad about billions of damage to oil industry. Chickens are coming home to roost at climate change. So in other words, essentially what he's trying to say is oil companies have been the cause of climate change, and since somehow Hurricane Harvey is the result of climate change, they're getting exactly what they deserve. Which is monumentally stupid on a number of levels. First of all, we have people coming out that have said this has nothing to do with climate change. Even people that aren't necessarily against climate change have said this. We were listening just the other day. Bill Reed from the National Hurricane Center said, look, you can attribute some things to climate change, but a hurricane coming in the middle of hurricane season, a Category 4 coming in and stalling over land like this, this is not uncommon. This has happened before. Is it something that happens every day? No, but this is not as though this is some unprecedented weather event. And so, I mean, if there's one guy that should know, it would be the guy who was the director of the National Hurricane Center. And so this is just Chink doing what he normally does, which is making crap up as he goes along. We used to have a word for people that believe that governments or companies could control the weather. Nutcases. Now somehow we treat them as academics. I mean, if you had a guy going out there saying that, you know, such and such company or the government's controlling the weather and they're making weather events happen, that guy was a nutcase. Now we're treating them as though they have a legitimate voice.
Because they don't read their history.
That's part of it.
One thing, I mean, if you look back, there have always been catastrophes and hurricanes and floods. There have been, I was looking the other night, approximately 35 years ago, in late May, there was a blizzard in Denver. Not up in the mountains, but in Denver itself.
Right.
If that happened today, of course, or in May of the current contemporary times, people would, oh, it's climate change. Whoever heard of such? It's climate change. There's no global warming, so we'll admit that it's man-made climate change.
Well, and that's the thing. What they've done is, and part of the reason they changed it to climate change, is it's a never-miss shot. Because no matter what kooky thing happens to the weather, they can always attribute it to that. In fact, what was so funny is that they try to talk out of both sides of their mouth. Because you may remember this about 10 years ago when they were actually still calling it global warming.
Up until all the global warming conventions were
right.
Slowed out.
That's what happened. You remember when that global warming...
It was actually snowed out.
You remember when there was that global warming research team that went out on the ship and they got stuck in the ice in Antarctica? That, to me, was hysterical. But anyway...
Well, let's change it to something else. It's
one of the reasons... But one of the reasons that Joe's getting to, and one of the reasons they changed it, is because you remember one of their arguments used to be, well, don't confuse climate with weather. Just because you're seeing some years where it's really cold or seeing a blizzard, that's not evidence against global warming happening. And they would say, you can't say a weather event is the same thing as the overall climate. Well, now they're saying this one weather event, Hurricane Harvey, is absolutely the result of climate change. And the reason they did that is because they changed the name from global warming, so now climate change can be any weather event. And so they tried to have it both ways. They realized their arguments were weak, so they tried to change the parameters of their argument.
And then there's the Dust Bowl of the 30s, where, I mean, if that happened today, it absolutely would be because of...
They'd absolutely be attributing that to climate
change. Are you read about that?
Oh,
yeah. Of course. Ooh, I mean, talk about record-breaking heat, no rain. That was a natural disaster unparalleled.
That was an ongoing natural disaster that lasted for months.
For a couple of years.
Yeah. So, I mean, weird weather has been happening for a long time. To think that we as humans can even possibly control that is arrogant and stupid. Just in case you're wondering, though, maybe he was having an off day. Maybe he was tweeting when he just woke up. Maybe this was something made in anger, just a flub. Nope, 20 minutes later, he doubles down. This is a quote from his Twitter feed just a few minutes later. U.S. taxpayers should help people of Houston in light of the tragedy, but not a dime going to oil companies who helped cause it in the first place.
Oh, no.
So here's the thing. This storm just caused the largest oil refinery in the country to shut down. So apparently he's getting his wish. Largest oil refinery in the country is shut down. 20% of America's oil comes through this refinery or the one surrounding it. This is going to affect oil companies? Yeah. Is it going to affect the CEOs? Well, not really, but it will to a degree. Who's it going to affect? The people being employed by the oil companies. And the people that buy things from oil companies. Well, that would be everybody that has a car. And have you seen gas prices this week?
Mm-hmm.
Gone up 20 cents in the past week since the hurricane started?
Well, we kind of knew that was on the way.
Right. So it's affecting the oil companies, and it's affecting you. And here's another thing. How is this not going to affect the average person? And this is what the left constantly overlooks when they're talking about global warming. I mean, climate change, whatever. I will say that there is a bit of a silver lining, though. At least it's not going to affect prices of, like, meat and bread and milk. Oh, wait. That stuff doesn't just magically appear on the shelves of the grocery stores. They actually have to ship it.
Oh.
So gas prices are going to affect the price of milk. They're going to affect the price of beef. Gas prices affect everything. Energy prices affect everything else. So when you see oil prices going up like they're going to, that's going to hit you with the pump, obviously, but it's also going to hit you with the supermarket. It hits you everywhere because everything has to be shipped. And see, this is the problem. Progressives like Chink would rather jobs go away and you pay more to suit his personal vendetta against oil than he would you have more work and more money in your pocket. To him, it's more important that the oil companies go down than you have that. But I guess if George Soros was bankrolling me, I wouldn't care about gas prices either because I'd have plenty of money. If we don't want them to drive us apart and be at each other's throats, we have to remember what brought us together in the first place in this storm. Love. Compassion for our fellow man. And if we stick to that, it's not going to work when they try to pull us apart. 860-1440, we'll be back.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Governments could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and the Lord of all the earth, General John Dickinson, signer of the Constitution.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Tactics on News Radio 1440 and the News Radio 1440 app. We're glad that you're with us regardless of how you choose to listen in. We know that there are a lot of you listening over the app, over newsradio1440.com, and we certainly do appreciate that. Lots to cover with Hurricane Harvey. I am interested in hearing your calls, hearing what you've got to say, because I have been incredibly encouraged with everything that's going on. Even though there are people that are trying to use it for political gain, there are people that are willing to go out and do the right thing. Oh, actually, we have a caller on right now. Why don't we just go ahead and go to Curtis on line one before I change subjects here. So let's go to Curtis on line one. Good morning, Curtis.
Hey, good morning, Caleb. I just wanted to add one pillar that you failed to mention with regard to what's going on with the oil companies and how it the ramifications.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, really, really, you know, the oil companies, that's, you know, and of course, as you know, the liberals and Democrats always vilify oil companies. But what you didn't mention is the fact that who else is impacted? The people that own the oil company, and these oil companies are owned by shareholders, unions that have invested in these companies, and as well as, you know, individuals and brokers. So oil companies, everybody thinks it's some white guy like Rex Tillerson that made a lot of money, and he sits up there in his Wizard of Oz castle. But it's owned by Americans, the oil companies, and they pay dividends and get a return on their investment. So it impacts the people that own that company. And then the last thing with oil companies is, let's not forget that, and again, I don't work for an oil company. They pay great wages, they pay great benefits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you know what? We need more oil companies that make money and produce a product instead of vilify them like liberals and Democrats do all the time.
Well, and that's one of the things that people often forget. And I didn't go to that aspect of it because I know in this particular argument, The left and the people in the Young Turks probably wouldn't care about what happens to the shareholders, and because they all see them as a bunch of evil, greedy capitalists. But you're right in that it affects so much more than people ever really think about and realize. And at the end of the day, every company, no matter how much the left vilifies them, is owned by a person. There are people that their livelihood is dependent on it, and there are people that are rewarded at the top by having those big salaries because they made other people rich along the way. And that's what
right.
they never will understand, because they believe that government makes people rich, that government creates wealth, when actually it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, and so many pensions are invested in oil companies as well as others. So, you know, I'm glad you're exposing once again the liberal hypocrisy and ignorance with regard to oil companies and what they do. We need more companies that make money and produce things and pay taxes and pay great wages. Not less of them, but that's not what you'll hear from Democrats.
No, you never will. Thank you so much for your call, Curtis, and I do appreciate it. You're absolutely right, is that there is this double-sided standard where they'll say, we want people to work for themselves. We want people to be able to pull themselves out of poverty. We just want to tax the crap out of everybody that could possibly do that, and we want bad things to happen to. Well, if you go after the people making the jobs, what happens to the people that are working for those people? It's one of the things that I had friends that used to pirate all the time, and I know that there's probably people in the audience that do this too, would pirate movies. And as much as I don't care for Hollywood most of the time, I'd say, yes, you are cheating big studios that make millions of dollars and probably won't miss the revenue out of their money. But at the same time, think about this. How many people do you see in the credits after a movie? There's a lot of people there, and they're not all millionaires. I can tell you that right now. You're cheating good working class people out of their money as well. And so you've got to be cautious about this, because when you're talking about you want bad things to happen to the company, or you're saying, who cares about them? They're all a bunch of millionaires and billionaires. No, not everybody that works at a big company like that is millionaires and billionaires. Cumulus is the second largest communication company in the country.
Just going to bring that up.
And believe me, I'm not a millionaire.
And believe me,
I'm not even a thousandaire.
I wish I had many hundreds, of some people have millions. As a matter of fact, I'd be satisfied. But, you know, with the gas prices, well, a lot of people, I'm not defending attacking of oil companies,
sure.
but a lot of people, and I'm guilty of this too sometimes, I think, they just went up on their prices and just whatever they want to. And I can't just go, you know, write a paycheck, a different paycheck every week to compensate. And people say, or even KFC or any other business, they can't just go up automatically because they want to compensate.
Right.
Well, it just rubs people the wrong way.
And what keeps them from just going off the rails and saying, well, let's just charge $10 a gallon? Competition. The capitalist system works in our favor in this position because, yes, the Chevron down the street, they can just say, let's charge 50 cents more for gas. They can do that, but once they do it, people are going to say, oh, I'm going to go to the Shell station because why not? It's a lot cheaper. And then they lose all their business, so they have to drop their prices to compete. So
you can actually see that all over town, that some areas of town are just going to be a little bit more and some areas going to be a little bit less. It's going to be close, but some choose to sell it at a lower price, some at a higher price. If it's really much lower, then maybe it's worth going a little bit out of your way to get it. But it's
the idea that companies just charge exorbitant amounts more than they have to, and they're hoarding money and hoarding profits and keep it all in a giant swimming pool and gold coins like Scrooge McDuck in the old DuckTales cartoon, is just stupid. To be competitive with other companies to stay in business, they have to both keep their prices down and simultaneously invest in new forms of energy, new ways to do business, innovation. They have to hire new people. That's what's so great about the capitalist system. In order to get rich, you have to make other people richer along the way. It doesn't work any other way. You don't have any other options. As long as there is a viable free market with competition, then yes, you can charge money and you can get very rich. But to do so, you have to make other people rich and offer a product that other people like and want and are willing to pay money for along the way. So when it comes to oil company, they're no different. They're just like any other company in that regard. They have to keep competitive pricing, and they have to employ people and invest in new forms of energy, new business to do that. Before we do go to a break, though, I wanted to bring up this other story that's only semi-related, but I liked it enough that I wanted to bring it up, because this is a story of two companies that I really like just kind of going at each other and having a little bit of fun. Apparently, there's a Chick-fil-A and a Moe's Barbecue in Mobile that have had dueling signs back to back over the past couple weeks. So what they're doing is, you know, those marquee signs that restaurants will put out a message on them so you can drive by and say, oh, you know, they got $2 off burgers today or whatever. Well, Chick-fil-A and Moe's Barbecue have had a little fun with each other. They're on the same street. And so Chick-fil-A put out a sign, try our new Smokehouse Barbecue sandwich. This is their new chicken sandwich that they've been promoting. And so Moe's Barbecue was a little offended by them doing barbecue, apparently. So they put out on their sign, Chick-fil-A, I thought we were friends. And then underneath it says, by the way, we're open on Sundays.
Oh, no. Well, that's...
So...
Yeah, checkmate.
Yeah, so, well, here's the thing. It goes on a lot. They had a lot of back and forth. So Chick-fil-A puts out, Moe's, we miss you. Let's be friends again. Moe's responds, Chick-fil-A, I'm with Diamonds, which is a local men's club there on the same street as them. Now, but it would be my pleasure. So Diamonds, the gentleman's club, they get in on it. And it says, let her go, Moe.
What? Oh, let her go.
Let her go. Talking about Chick-fil-A. So Chick-fil-A comes back with, Moe's so happy for you. As friends, can we ask a favor? Moe's responds, my pleasure, Chick-fil-A. What can we do for you? Chick-fil-A comes back with, any way we could get a look at that white barbecue recipe, talking about their special sauce. Oh, yeah. Which, by the way, that white barbecue sauce is amazing. My favorite barbecue sauce. Moe's comes back with, we'll send it over when pigs fly. And then Chick-fil-A, this was the final one. They said, flying pork, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
And that was in Mobile.
Yeah, so just a little local story. I thought it was funny. It's good to see companies having fun with each other. I used to work at a Moe's Southwestern Grill, not a Moe's Barbecue. And actually, Moe's Barbecue was down the street. We used to prank each other all the time. I was a delivery guy. They actually ordered burritos, ordered to their restaurant. They didn't tell me it was at Moe's Barbecue, and so I show up at the address, and it's Moe's Barbecue. So they used to poke fun at us all the time about that. It's really funny. Just a little good-spirited jeering from these two companies. And it was something fun for their customers as well. It's good to see that because companies have fun, they like what they do, and they get free publicity out of it, like people on talk radio talking about it or the big internet meme that blew up. So I do love it when people are having fun at their work. And I think that's all this was a case of. Chaplin's Report is up next.
If we rode the clouds together, could you not look down forever?
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Matthew 22:37-40. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets.
Hey everybody, welcome back. You are listening to Tactics on News Radio 1440 and newsradio1440.com. We do have the Chaplain's Report coming up, but real quick, we do have a programming update that I was just asked to remind you of. Tomorrow, we're doing something a little unusual because we've got some programming conflicts, but we are going to be carrying right here on News Radio 1440 the Atlanta Braves and the Chicago Cubs. Usually that's taken care of by our sister station, but in this particular case, we've got the World Series champions, Chicago Cubs, playing the Braves right here tomorrow, and pregame will start at 12, so be looking forward to that. A little extra baseball on News Radio 1440 for your listening pleasure, and it's supposed to be a really good game. I'm hoping that it will be.
I'll be here.
That's right. Joe will actually be in the studio running the game, so that'll be nice.
And also, the Braves did win a doubleheader yesterday.
That's right. The Braves have actually been
strangely enough.
been doing, oddly enough, they decided, hey, let's start playing the Phillies, which they have not done all year. So I guess that's really when you want to start playing baseball, is right around the beginning of September. Anyway, let's go ahead and jump into the chaplain's report. I do have a passage here that I really did think that was relevant to what we were talking about. It comes from Proverbs, and Solomon just, sometimes his wisdom just absolutely blows me away, how he can consolidate a complicated idea and make it so simple, which I think is a testament to his wisdom. Some people really do believe that wisdom is something to be done and essentially kept to the elites, the incredibly intelligent people. Guys, the wisest people in the world are the ones that can explain things simply. Really smart people make things simpler and less complicated. They don't make it more complicated. And that's what Solomon does here. He distills a very complicated idea and puts it into very simple terms that anybody can understand. This comes from Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. Now, of course, fat in this particular context, meaning that he won't have need of any food. But we're looking at this, and I really do think that it just shows a vast difference in the two philosophies between those who are willing to work for what they have and those who are not. And it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the oil companies and everything. There are certain people that really do want, they envy success. They despise seeing successful people because it reminds them that they're not successful. And so what they do is they compare themselves to other people, which, by the way, is another thing that the Bible warns against. They compare themselves to others and see that they have less and they get jealous. Envy starts growing in their hearts. And that's a shame because it makes them miserable. All it does is reminds them that no matter how many blessings they have, it reminds them that there's something they don't have. This is actually the oldest sin in the world. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. How did the devil tempt Eve? He didn't get her to focus on all the many, many blessings God had given her in the garden. He got her to focus on the one tree she wasn't allowed to eat from. She had all this land, all these different kinds of fruits that she could have eaten from, and it would have been perfectly okay. And yet, he got her to focus on that one fruit that wasn't allowed. You see, when we start focusing on the things we don't have, we forget to be grateful. We forget to remember who provides for us. And we start to look other places for fulfillment and enjoyment. Like I said, this is literally the oldest sin in the world. And that's how we can get so easily tempted too, when the devil starts pointing us in the direction of looking at other people, comparing ourselves to others, and focusing on the things that we are missing out on. You see, the devil doesn't want us to focus, for example, on people that have great marriages, that have one partner, that they've only ever been intimate with one another, and they have a beautiful family, have that real, and I'm talking about emotional intimacy here, have that emotional intimacy that goes along with that. They want us to focus on, well, I can't sleep with my girlfriend if I follow God's will. That's what he's trying to get us to focus on. He tries to make us think of God as some kind of killjoy. And that's exactly what he's saying here with work in Proverbs. He's not trying to get us to focus on, well, maybe there's some things that I can do. God has given me a lot of really great abilities that I can go out and I can make money and I can help people. I can make a really interesting, have all these ideas and make, whether it's farming, or I can invent this really cool thing, or I can share my ideas with people and they'll pay me for that, or I'm really good at cleaning houses, whatever it may be, whatever your talent is. He's not trying to get us to focus on that, the things that could make us profitable, the things that could make us wealthy. He's trying to get us focused on people that have already made themselves wealthy. Compare ourselves to others. And that's where the seed of envy starts setting in. well, I can't do some of the things they do, so because they got rich, they probably cheated for it anyway. We need to go ahead and take their money. We need. It's a good thing that they're going to be taken down a peg or two. No, no, no. Just focus on yourself. Focus on making what you can do and make yourself better. If we can just stand there and examine ourselves, take a real honest look at who we are and the areas that we can improve on, we're going to be much more useful to God's kingdom. Because we'll be more aware, and more importantly, we'll be aware of what we can't do. The church is a body with multiple units. We're not all hands, we're not all eyes, we're not all ears. We have different functions. So don't focus on what other people are doing or how they've been blessed. Focus on what you can do in the ways that you've been blessed. That's the way to live a fulfilling, God-centered life. Stay the course, friends.